Welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm your host, Lydia Johnson. This week's show might look a little different as we bring you a special edition looking into the mental health challenges facing farmers and ranchers across the country. We'll be joined by leaders of two of the largest farm organizations in the country, Zippy Duval, president of the American Farm Bureau Federation, and Rob LaRue, president of the National Farmers Union. According to the National Rural Health Association, the suicide rate for farmers is more than 3.5 times higher than the rate for the general population. The reasons for this daunting statistic may be more diverse than the types of operations across the countryside. Everything from changing commodity prices to financial hardships and extreme weather events to labor shortages weigh on these producers. Since most farms are family operations that can span many generations, modern producers face pressures beyond simply keeping a business afloat. The responsibility they feel for maintaining the family's farming legacy can also weigh on their minds. When faced with a seemingly never-ending list of challenges, mental health can often take a backseat. During today's show, we will dive into the stigma around mental health for farmers, ranchers, and rural communities. We'll look into the resources that exist today and what can be expanded in the future to better serve those producing our food, fiber, and fuel. Rob LaRue was raised on his family's farm in West Virginia and now serves as president of the National Farmers Union. Throughout his career, he's encountered an array of farmers managing extreme stress and pressure, but mental health challenges may not always be as obvious as they seem.
Everybody's experience is a little bit different, but one of the things that we know about farming is that while we often describe farmers as the eternal optimists, right? We know that next year's crop is going to be a little bit better, the markets are going to get better, but we're also dealing with a lot of isolation out there. And so with that isolation, all the troubles and the struggles, whether it's weather-related, financial pressures and so forth, all that builds, and too often we feel like at the farm level that we can't have a chance to talk about it or that we shouldn't talk about it. And that's one of the reasons why we're really thrilled to be working closely with Farm Bureau to open up this conversation and allow folks the opportunity to tap into resources.
When we talk about rural mental health, you know, some of those things we might not always see in our friends and our neighbors and our those we see in the coffee shop. What are some of the things that you look for when you're working with farmers and, you know, think, oh, that's a sign I should check in on them?
Well, it is a little bit different with each person. And I think that one of the things that farmers everywhere and rural folks in particular are good at is checking in on their neighbors. We want to make sure that we have a strong community. We're always checking out each other's crop, in a new piece of equipment, all those things. And we can sometimes tell when stress is getting to be too much. So just reminding folks to make sure that we're checking in on folks and looking for those signs of stress.
And Zippy, how about you? From your travels across rural America, what are some of the things that you look for?
We need to be checking in on our friends and neighbors, and we all do that. And, you know, for example, if you go to a Farm Bureau meeting and the guy that always stands around at tailgate and talks afterwards just jumps in his trucks and leave, you got to question yourself, you know, what's going on in his life? Is he just late for something or is something bothering him that he don't want to be around us, you know? So it's just being aware. And we also live a very lonely life in a lot of cases. So you really don't have a lot of people around you to talk to you, to lend an ear to you, and especially out in our rangelands.
We'll be back to continue the discussion right after this.
Regenerative poultry production is a process by which nature can actually recapture and restore the energy that is being taken out of our space.
Farm Credit helped Rahi build his dream of regenerative poultry farming and encouraging fellow immigrants to find community in agriculture.
Nothing beats a farm. I'm just pursuing happiness.
Learn more at farmcredit.com/beginning.
Spring floods, fall floods,
there's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops. We have better drought stress tolerance.
When it all boils down to it, these USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America. All that increase, it's going back into the economy.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Welcome back. As president of the American Farm Bureau Federation, Zippy has seen mental health challenges impact farmers across the country, in his own community, and in himself.
We've been involved with mental health and been a partner of NFU for probably 7 or 8 years now. And the first time it was brought to my attention was one of my employees was telling about one of their neighbors' father taking a life because he was going through such a hard time with at his dairy. And it became aware to me that we need to do something about this problem. But years later after that, and I took it seriously, but I don't think you can really take it seriously until you experience it yourself or see someone in your family experiencing it. And I lost my wife back in 2000, and I went through a very difficult time. I didn't have to get professional help, but my friends and neighbors and my faith is what carried me through that. And when I say friends and neighbors, it's not just the people in my community. This organization and Rob's organization, they all come to your rescue and support you in whatever you do. So it was difficult. But I'll tell you, people will, especially farmers, we're kind of known as that crusty old farmer over in the corner of the room. We don't talk about our feelings. Well, we got to race that away and know that it's important to talk about our feelings. I was one of those crusty old guys. And I carried the burden of my wife passing for a couple of months. An interview on a podcast, a reporter said something to me, and that pressure cooker popped off in me. And next thing I knew, I was sharing everything about myself and how I felt and crying. And I walked away thinking, I might have just lost my job over showing that weakness. In the next 2 or 3 weeks, I received hundreds of emails and phone calls and handwritten letters saying just wonderful, positive things. And even one of them said, that's the bravest thing I ever seen anybody do. And I thought it was a weakness. And that's the misunderstanding we have. It's okay not to be okay, but it's not okay not to tell somebody. And that's why what Rob says, just need to spend some time on, go look at their crops and kick the tires on that new piece of machinery and just check on them and see how they're doing.
Yeah, and like you said, that can be a very challenging time during illness, during those things. Are there things that you can remember from that season of when your wife was sick that were helpful to you, being in a rural community, a few things people did or things you wish they did to support you through that?
Yeah, matter of fact, my friends, the closest friends and neighbors that farmed next to me, just basically come and, because it was right after COVID, or during COVID, really, and said, you know, you can't just stay here on this farm by yourself, because we were working from home, everybody was, and says, you got to get out and not be by yourself. And I said, no, I'm not ready to do that. And they said, we're gonna pick you up at 6 o'clock and go to a meeting, so you be ready, or you're gonna go dirty from the farm, you know. So they just made sure that I was out and they were showing their kindness.
How do you recommend, you know, farmers, people in rural communities, begin that conversation, begin looping people in and really start the action of trying to help?
Well, actually, through our partnership, through several other partners that we have, we have the Farm State of Mind website. And in that website, you can be trained of how to recognize some of the symptoms. And in that website, we also have resources that we've built up that are very good for people to be able to use, whether you're going through it or you see somebody going through it. So we would recommend that and kind of build yourself up to having a little confidence to actually talk about it. In our surveys, we've seen that the last survey we've done, we've seen a raise in the confidence of people actually feeling more comfortable about talking about, whether it be opioids or whether it be something else that they're leaning on or whether it be suicidal, you know. They have more confidence that they can go out and use some of these resources and teach themselves how to face their friends and neighbors with it and try to help them. A lot of times people just needed somebody to lend them an ear, and that was my situation. I need somebody to just listen to me.
I think Zippy's example is a really good one because, you know, we talk about, first of all, kind of breaking the stigma around this, right, and opening up the conversation,
right.
And that's what we're trying to do at Farmers Union and Farm Bureau together with a lot of other partners. But then also beyond that, opening up the conversation, it's recognizing that talking about the stresses that we have, whether it's directly farm-related or sometimes just personal issues that might be going on, recognizing that being able to share that with somebody, a trusted friend, another family member, is actually a sign of strength and bravery, really, in a lot of cases. How many of these tragic stories that we've heard where we lose a farmer to suicide, the rest of the family may not have known much. There wasn't a whole lot of conversations. We need to first break that stigma and open up those conversations.
If you live in a small community like I do, and probably like Rob does, if you're going through a difficult time, you stop, visit with your preacher about it, everybody sees your truck there on Wednesday and they say, I wonder what he's going through. Or, you know, or they see you're at the doctor, you know, that a mental health doctor, that, you know, that people wonder. So people don't want to be seen there, you know. So this is a way for them to anonymously have a peer-to-peer conversation.
We'll be back to continue this mental health discussion, but first, our Jake Sikowski walks us through factors affecting farmers' mental health in this week's Ag by the Numbers.
Farmers experience extreme stress due to factors such as natural disasters, extreme weather events, financial uncertainties, and fluctuating markets. These challenges are prolonged by the rural and isolated settings in which many farmers and ranchers live. According to the American Farm Bureau Federation's Rural Stress Polling, there are several significant challenges that farmers believe most affect their mental health. In this chart, financial issues are the top concern, cited by 73% of rural respondents. Fear of losing the farm is a major factor for 66% of farmers. And 61% believe that farm or business problems contribute to their stress. Additionally, 52% of farmers report concerns about the state of the farm economy impact of their mental health, while uncontrollable factors such as weather add to the stress for about 50% of respondents. Finally, 22% of farmers think that the stigma around seeking mental health services is one of the greatest challenges. For the agriculture community, farming is widely recognized as a stressful occupation associated with increased levels of anxiety and depression. However, programs aimed at supporting mental health can support both individuals and communities. For AgriPulse, I'm Jacob Zukowski.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together. But we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers' back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
The Senate and House Ag Committees are busy working on the next Farm Bill, which will cover commodities, specialty crops, livestock, and more. This legislation will impact every farmer, rancher, and rural business for the next 5 years. Make sure you don't miss insights and analytics that only AgriPulse and its top-notch team of well-connected experts can provide. Register today for a free trial at agripulse.com and click the subscribe button, or email us at pam@agri-pulse.com. You don't want to miss this Farm Bill coverage.
Welcome back. There are many factors that put pressure on farmers, but the farm economy may be one of the largest stressors for rural America.
First of all, just looking at input costs, you know, I don't hear very many folks, and certainly when I look at my bills, I don't see my input costs going down, right? They always typically go up. And so that either means a really slim margin or negative. So that pressure is always there. In spite of all that, you know, we have to try to find ways to open up that conversation. And I'm really thrilled that our Farm Credit Council and the Farm Credit System, along with so many other partners, are helping to do this, because we know that those folks that are also on the front lines are our lenders, who probably know where some of that financial stress is at. And I know that USDA is also looking at making sure that FSA offices can also see those early signs of stress.
And you mentioned some of those training programs both organizations have. What do you kind of hope that the people that attend those take away or are able to take home and able to relay to the people that they interact with that need the resources?
Growing up, you go through first aid training. You go through, you learn CPR. You learn, you might have been a lifeguard at some point. So you learn all those things. Well, if you know, whenever I'm out in places, you know, I'm not anticipating having to use that. And gosh, I hope maybe I don't have to. But, you know, this training can be there in the background for when the need is, because when somebody needs help, whether it's CPR or whether it's help identifying mental health struggles, we ought to be prepared.
And a question for both of you, but during your careers, how have you seen the stigma change in rural America and in your positions?
Well, when I was in my 30s, no one would have mentioned it. No one would have talked about it. You know, I farmed through the 80s, and I don't know whether Rob was farming during that time, but that was a very, very difficult time financially. And, you know, I remember back then we had news at 6 o'clock and 11 o'clock and 7 o'clock in the morning. And every night at 7 o'clock or 11 o'clock that night, you'd hear some farmer that was upside down on his loans and he'd taken his life or hurt somebody in his family, you know. And that difficult time was during a time where nobody talked about it. Everybody was a crusty farmer over in the middle of the room, and how dare you even mention that at a Farm Bureau meeting. We've come a long ways from that, especially in the last 5 years. I really think we're erasing the stigma and the fear of talking about it. And that's the first big step, is to get people to talk. I had a neighbor that lost an employee to death on an accident on the farm. And 2 weeks into it, I saw him, and it just looked like everything in him had been drained out of him. And I just stopped and says, you know, I called him up and I says, let's me and you take a ride. Let's go ride around and just talk about old times or something. And we rode around for about 2 hours. 3 years later, he told me it was the most important visit of his life. I had no idea that it would have made that kind of impact on him. And all we did was ride around and talk and got him to laughing a little bit.
And how about you, Rob?
You know, certainly the 80s crisis, I think, is brought up by a lot of folks, you know, because it was such an intense, you know, combination of losses out there in the countryside. And you know, what I heard probably even a decade ago, whenever we would have tough times, folks saying, well, this isn't like the 80s. But I think we're finally coming, as Zippy's kind of talking about, finally coming to a point that it doesn't have to be an 80s. We don't have to have an 80s crisis to be able to take this seriously. This ought to be ingrained in us. Just like trying to take care of our health in other ways, we need to take care of all of ourselves.
We'll be right back with Rob and Zippy, but first, Jake Sikowski walks us through where mental health professional shortages are in this week's Map It Out.
One of the most significant challenges preventing rural Americans from receiving health care is the shortage of mental health professionals. Access to healthcare is critical for good health, a healthy mind, and community well-being. The Rural Health Information Network has identified mental health professional shortage areas in 2024. This map identifies counties across the country with shortage areas. Green indicates the shortage scale in rural areas, while blue represents that of urban areas. The shortage scale assigns each community a value 0 to 25, and a higher number indicates a greater need for mental health providers to support residents. The map designates 3,826 mental health professional shortage areas in rural regions. It is estimated that 1,682 practitioners are needed to work in these areas to remove the designations. Professionals that can assist in this form of care include counselors, psychiatric nurse practitioners, social workers, and psychologists. Travel distance and the lack of health insurance covering mental health services are commonly identified as challenges to assessing available resources in rural healthcare. For AgriPulse, I'm Jacob Zikowski.
It's not as simple as just to wake up one day and go, I want to be a conservation farmer. You're changing how your farming practice is done. You're changing your operation.
Farm Credit supported John and Kelly Watley as they shifted to more sustainable farming, improving the environment where they farm and live. Learn more at farmcredit.com/climate.
Spring floods, fall floods, there's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops. We have better drought stress tolerance.
When it all boils down to it, these USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America. All that increase, it's going back into the economy.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Welcome back. Throughout their careers in rural America and in Washington, both Rob and Zippy have seen changes to mental health policies, including some in the proposed Farm Bill text.
Well, I think we've come a long way. We've just seen the bill that passed out of the House Ag Committee on Farm Bill that has some support in there for mental health in rural communities and farms.
Yeah, the Farm and Ranch Stress Assistance Network is a really important piece of the Farm Bill. And it's, you know, providing assistance out to those state networks. Some states have really good kind of either a hotline or other resources that they're using to make sure that farmers are tapping into resources wherever they are. What I'm encouraged by on that Farm Bill conversation and policy point of view is that now it's not so much a question of whether or not that funding is going to be in there, but what level of that funding.
Looking at rural mental health care in general, in Congress or the administration, what gaps currently exist that you would like to see filled?
I think it's fair to say that, whether it was COVID and the kind of disruption there, it really showed the rest of the country massive gaps. I wouldn't even say gaps in some points, it's chasms in terms of access to specialist care. That includes mental health professionals, mental health assistance in schools for students and kids. All of that is still lagging far behind in rural America. It certainly is more visible now, and I think that, you know, conversations like this hopefully will help fill some of that gap. And I know that telemedicine and those kind of resources can also be helpful.
We got a website, but you can't get the website without broadband, you know, and by the time he got to McDonald's to use it, it might be too late. You never know.
Burger King in my sense.
Yeah, well.
But very interesting to see all those interconnected points of, you know, it's not just having a resource, it's giving people the ability to access it.
That's right.
And I guess looking at NFU in particular, what are you doing to support this? And tell us, kind of dive into all the resources that you provide if we go to your website.
Yeah, absolutely. So just typing in farm stress on our website will take you to Farmtown Strong. It will take you to all the resources that we're pushing out kind of jointly here, the Together All, which is that farmer-to-farmer peer counseling. All of those resources, we want to make it so easy for farmers and farm families to be able to tap into these resources. Any of our meetings, we're making this information easily accessible to all of them. We continue to train a lot of our members in kind of that first aid, if you will, for mental health and looking for those resources. And then in a number of our states, and I brought up Oklahoma earlier, where they're actually working closely with banks and those lenders, again, some of those folks on the front lines.
How about you, Zippy?
Sure, we pretty much the same. I mean, and making it easy is a joy. This morning I went on just AFBF and scrolled down to Farm State of Mind. And under that you find Rural Resilience, which is the training, and then you find all the resources that are there and the Together All program that you can be involved in if you want to do that anonymously and free.
Well, thank you both so much for joining us. It was a great discussion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Stick around to hear about how you can access these resources and better support those in your community.
Looking closer, seeing further. That's how we do it. At Curious Plot, we're driven to find what's next for agriculture, animal care, and food. We stay curious because that's what it takes to grow understanding. That's how we plot strategies and tell stories that get results time after time. Marketing, communications, and consulting that look closer and see further. Curious Plot. We can't wait to help you tell your story.
The Senate and House Ag Committees are busy working on the next Farm Bill, which will cover commodities, specialty crops, livestock, and more. This legislation will impact every farmer, rancher, and rural business for the next 5 years. Make sure you don't miss insights and analytics that only AgriPulse and its top-notch team of well-connected experts can provide. Register today for a free trial at agripulse.com and click the subscribe button, or email us at pam@agri-pulse.com. You don't want to miss this Farm Bill coverage.
Welcome back. As we discussed today, there are a number of resources to support farmers in distress. Anyone seeking help can dial or text the number 988 around the clock to connect with a crisis worker who will listen to their concerns, provide support, and connect them to additional resources. As Rob and Zippy mentioned during the show, Anyone can access free and confidential resources on the National Farmers Union and American Farm Bureau Federation's websites, farmcrisis.nfu.org, and Farm Bureau's State of Mind page can connect you to resources for yourself and to learn how to better support others. Ruralminds.org is also a helpful resource to learn how to end the stigma around mental health. Thanks for watching today. And as always, stay tuned for the latest on this and more at AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Newsmakers, I'm Lydia Johnson.
Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more. For agriculture, trade, food, environment, and regulatory news, your source is AgriPulse.com.